Welcome to The Scalpel of Truth, the podcast providing cutting insight on how to rise to the top in the medical aesthetics industry with your host, Lisa Kraus, a.k.a. The Bitchin' Beautician. That's Lisa with an E, which stands for explicit, because in this surgical suite, she won't sugarcoat the truth, and yes, there will be some seriously salty language, not suitable for sensitive souls, children, nor pets. As a business consultant, Lisa shares the knowledge and lessons she's gleaned over 30 years in the industry, time spent working directly with patients, managers, and med spa owners alike. Her practice growth strategies are sharp, her stories and wit sharper, and her panache for bringing the spice, the sharpest. So buckle up, bichachos. Lisa's about to slice and dice another episode of The Scalpel of Truth.
Hey guys, welcome. It's Lise, the Bitchin' Beautician. I am so excited that you're here, and it's an honor to spend time with you today. As always, I want to congratulate you on investing time and being committed to gaining as much education as possible to advance your career and success in medical aesthetics. Today's episode is all about paycheck collectors versus business builders and revenue generators. Here's the legal part I need to read. This podcast is presented solely for educational entertainment purposes. Guys, I'm just your beauty business bitch. I'm not a licensed therapist or an HR representative, nor am I a lawyer. This platform's used to share my experiences with what's made me a successful service provider, a manager, and a business consultant for those whom I coach. Got it? Beautiful. Guys, this is a topic I am absolutely obsessed with talking about. Being in a clinic for over 20 years, I had the luxury of working with and for many different people, teams, and personality types. Clinic culture is directly affected by the caliber of individuals that make up your team. I'm going to say that again. Teams are important. Clinic culture is directly affected by the caliber of individual that makes up your team. I'm going to be the bitch I am, and I am going to say that about 30% approximately, in my own humble opinion, of the service providers, managers, owners in the medical aesthetic industry should not be here. They don't deserve to be in our industry. There I said it. We are going to go over today the difference between what a paycheck collector is versus a either like business builder slash revenue generator and how to identify them, okay? This should have you reevaluating your own behaviors to make sure you're not the asshole I'm talking about. If you're working in a team environment, you can then identify who might be a problem and who needs to be invited to seek employment elsewhere. Usually, these folks stick out like a sore thumb, but we're going to go over them. These are ways that you'll be able to identify who these people are in your practice so that you can do something about it. Identifying these individuals involves recognizing team members who may be more interested in their earnings rather than contributing to your actual practice success or your patient care or team cohesion. So some of the markers we're going to look out for. This isn't in any particular order. What we're going to start with is lack of initiative. A paycheck collector will show minimal interest in taking on anything new, learning new skills, contributing any sort of ideas, or improving on services or operations. These paycheck collectors are just going with the flow. And it's not like, oh, that person's just laid back. It's that they're disinterested. There's a lack of initiative. You need to ask these people to do anything. Like a box of product comes to the front desk and it's dropped off. A paycheck collector will walk by that fucking box, trip over it before they'll ever take it to the back and try and unload it. Okay. So number two, minimal effort. They do just enough to get by. They are making and meeting the basic requirements. There's a lack of enthusiasm and a lack of commitment to excellence, to be honest. So they're just doing their share, their mediocre and average share. They have licked the lollipop of mediocrity and you hired them. Okay, so minimal effort. The next thing is low engagement. So they're often very disengaged during team meetings or discussions. They show little interest in broadening their goals or the goals of the practice or contributing to a positive team dynamic. They have very little to say because they're just there collecting a paycheck and punching a clock. They're going through the motions. So low engagement. Then we have frequent absenteeism. There's a pattern of frequent, often last-minute absences. This can indicate a lack of commitment to their role and their responsibilities. So this person is calling in sick. And if you're not tracking how many days a certain individual is sick, and before everybody gets on their soapbox who has a medical condition, I'm not talking about you. So don't worry. I'm talking about the folks that we know don't have anything wrong with them, but they're, oh, I woke up and I'm not feeling good. Oh, yeah, I got a hangnail. Oh, yeah, dang, I've stubbed my toe. Oh, I've got hives. Okay, the fucking list goes on, right? So frequently absent. Then we've got those who are resistant to feedback. They're going to be defensive, unresponsive. They're like to any constructive feedback aimed at improving their performance or enhancing any sort of team collaboration. In your performance reviews, you want to watch for rebuttals. People will stand up for themselves, and that's not really what I'm talking about. If somebody was saying to me, here's some constructive feedback, I would take that, I would think about it, and then I'd give my opinion. I wouldn't be immediately defensive. I would hear the person out, and then I know my quality and I know my worth and I know what I bring to the table. So we would find a solution. Okay. So these folks are often resistant to feedback. Number six is clock watching. They are overly focused on their breaks, lunch times, end of day, often doing the bare minimum required before leaving. Sometimes they'll leave their rooms empty without being stocked. They will leave a room dirty. Absolutely disgusting. You should get written up for that. So clock watching and clock punching. And to be fair, on the other side of that, employers and managers, when you're asking someone to stay overtime more than every once in a blue moon, you've got a problem on your hands with proper delegation and management on your end, right? If you run over in your day and you're asking people, oh, can you please just take pictures for my Botox patient? Oh, sorry, can you just help me assist me? People that are guilty of this are often medical professionals who have a laser technician or a medical assistant of some sort assisting them, and they run short on their day, short on time. Everybody's behind because they pack their schedule full, whether you're a derm, whether you're a whatever. If you've packed your schedule full that you're running behind and your team, your Cosmo team or whoever's helping you has to stay late every day, fucking rude. Figure your shit out. And I know that's going to piss off the people that are offenders of the offense. We know this, right? Be better. You can't make people stay late every single day and go over because of something that is wrong in your schedule. Then there's a lack of patient focus. There's little to no effort in building a rapport with the patients or enhancing the patient experience and satisfaction with the service they're providing. They're walking through the motions. You got to check these folks for a pulse. Again, don't deserve to be in this industry or on your team for that matter. Number eight's resistant to change. They show reluctance or resistance to changes in procedures or technology, anything that's designed to really improve your practice. So, well, we've always done it this way. We don't need another, you know, device, or we don't need another product line. It's because they're lazy as fuck and they don't want to have to learn anything else. That's another way. They're resistant to change. Change and growth go hand in hand. Number nine is poor collaboration. These folks prefer to work in isolation. They avoid collaborating with the team or participating in group projects or even really being a part of the team. It's almost like they're a side add-on to your team, right? This is going to hinder your team's synergy and your productivity. Now, people that don't want to collaborate or work in a team environment, you need to do a deeper dive on this because it might be that you've got an A-game player that doesn't want to collaborate with the team because you've got a team of paycheck collectors. So the person who is in isolation might actually be your business builder. So you need to look and take a deeper dive on that one. Number 10, no interest in professional development. So these folks show no interest in participating in training. They miss workshops. Oh, I can't. It's my dog's brother's birthday. It's my cousin's brother's. They come up with these terrible excuses. You need to have all hands on deck when you're participating in training workshops, conferences that could enhance their skills. They need to contribute to practice growth, or they are just simply a paycheck collector, right? You also are looking for chart dodgers. If a patient comes in and they're a walk-in and they're like, oh, sorry, I just got to finish my charting. Or, oh, sorry, I've got a patient coming in 20 minutes. I couldn't possibly talk to the person who came in to walk in and talk to us about products and possibly spend money after we've spent millions of dollars on advertising to get them walk through the frickin' door. These folks, if they are chart dodging, or the worst is managers that are also service providers. Managers that chart dodge, or, oh, I have to go do my admin time. Oh, you know what? I'm so behind with admin. What exactly are you doing with your admin? And why is your time management so poor? Is the administrative task more important than a paying patient? Doubt it. So then you want to take a look and see if your manager is actually your paycheck collector. Lots of those out there. Okay. So recognizing these signs early are going to help you address potential issues before they impact team morale. Because honestly, that's what's going to happen. You need to have a high machete factor when it comes to paycheck collectors because they are eroding the foundation of your practice. Okay. You are not in the business of dragging dead bodies. It is much easier to get fresh blood into your practice than it is to try and wake the dead. Pay them out, wish them well on their journey, and for God's sakes, do not let people work another day once you've let them go or terminated them. You pay them double what you are supposed to legally, and you wish them well and dismiss them. Because anybody you let go and let them work their time out, or it's similar if somebody is going to give you their resignation. Thank you so much for your time. We have absolutely loved working with you. We are going to pay you out so that you have some extra time to focus on getting ready for your next venture, right? Unless they're going on mat leave, like maternity leave, if they're moving to another province, those are maybe some reasons that they would be able to stay, right? And when there's no consequences for poor work ethic and no reward for good work ethic, there's no motivation whatsoever. Nothing is going to kill a great employee faster than you tolerating a shitty one. Okay? So what I want you to do is stop making excuses for shitty people, shitty employees, contractors. You can't put a flower in an asshole and call it a vase for very long before people are like, hey, that's not a vase. Okay, so now that we have down in the dumps of all of our paycheck collector identifying markers, We're gonna move on. We're gonna go to our how to identify a revenue generator or a business builder. These are my people. These are the folks that are going to not only excel in their role, but actively contribute to your profits, your growth, and your business success. There are many markers for these A-game player individuals. These are your business builders, revenue generators, starting from the top. Number one, they are going to have proactive engagement. They regularly come to the plate with new ideas, strategies, different ways to improve services, attract more patients into your practice, enhance the patient experience. These folks are in it to win it. So that's one way to recognize them. They're often giving you proactive engagement. Number two is high patient satisfaction. These revenue generators consistently receive positive feedback from patients for their exceptional care. They contribute to repeat business and referrals. So patient satisfaction is often very high. Next is a strong work ethic. They demonstrate a commitment to excellence because they work their asses off. They go above and beyond what is required to ensure highest quality of service. And this is both for in the practice and for the patient. Number four is excellent communication skills. These folks communicate effectively with both patients and team members. They're able to convey basic ideas very clearly and can contribute to a positive work environment. These folks have honest, open communication. They've got boundaries. Obviously, they're not going to be walked on. They know what they bring to the table, and they're not afraid to eat alone, right? You've got to reward these A-game players. Then you've got initiatives for learning, right? These folks always show a key interest in continued professional development. They're staying updated with the latest trends and treatments and technologies that could maybe benefit your practice. These are the folks that in their spare time, they are educating themselves. They are going to conferences on their own dime. They are paying for extra education. By the way, I just want to add here, if you are an owner or manager and you are benefiting from someone else paying to go to a conference, you need to consider yourself lucky. If you want your team to do sharebacks, if they go and spend their money getting education and you want them to come back and do a lunch and learn and share that education, you best be looking to pay something towards that trip. Otherwise, you're a cheap ass and you don't deserve that information. There are so many owners out there. This is starting to be a real thing where it's like, okay, you go, you take the time off. We're not going to pay you for the time you're taking off. You're going to fly there, stay in a hotel, pay the registration fee, and come back and tell us everything. Eat shit. Don't be that person. Okay? Whew, that one gets me hot under the collar. That could go into the category of serious rant-a-rooney. Okay. Up next, we've got adaptability. These folks adapt to changes quickly within your practice. It doesn't matter if it's new procedures, new technologies, new strategies. They often lead the way with implementing these changes. So that's a really great way to identify somebody who is a business builder for you. The next one we've got here is strong collaborator. They work well with the team, fostering a spirit of cooperation and collaboration. This person mediates to ensure team harmony and productivity. This sometimes looks like a people pleaser. I'm telling you, the fastest way to get a people pleaser to shut down is you don't recognize them, right? Or you don't treat them well. These people in your practice are massively valuable and you do not want to burn them out. Do not mistake their kindness for being a pushover or a weak ass, because eventually they'll grow a backbone and they will go work for your competition, right? Next up is they are results oriented, okay? They set and meet high performance standards for themselves. You don't even need to be on their case to do this. They are focusing on achieving tangible results and that always are going to contribute to your practice and revenue growth and your reputation. This is the best thing for your reputation, is having a team full of revenue generating business builders. I mean, nothing greater than that on a team, right? We've got patient retention efforts. These folks are often actively working on building long-term patient relationships. They understand the needs and preferences of their high valued patients. They encourage continued patronage for the practice. They're in there telling everybody about your bundles, your memberships. They're the ones saying, hey, we love to give you great results and we love to save you money. Here's how we're going to do it. Thank you so much for your referral. Would you mind giving us a Google review? These people are almost mini owners. The thing is, if you don't celebrate these folks and you don't do anything about letting go your paycheck collectors and making a great environment for these people, they will take their skill set and go be your competition next door. So if you don't celebrate these folks and you tolerate these folks only, people will go where they are celebrated. All right. Next up, they are marketing savvy. They understand and contribute to marketing efforts in your practice. So that means whether it's social media engagement, community outreach, they're enhancing the online presence somehow. These folks are gems in your practice. Not everybody is market or marketing savvy or social media savvy. Maybe they won't post stuff because they're not interested in it, but they'll be in the reel. They'll participate. They'll say, hey, I have an idea, right? These are folks that need to be celebrated. Then there's innovation. They're always looking for innovative ways to enhance your services, streamline your operations, contribute to the practice in efficiency in a way that directly relates to profitability. Okay. Then they've got leadership qualities. They exhibit leadership qualities. They're natural born leaders. They include responsibility in their own hardwiring, right? They inspire and motivate others. They take on projects. They are productive with their work culture. So spotting and nurturing these qualities in your team members will significantly contribute to the growth and success of your med spa practice or your derm practice, your plastics practice, whatever it is that you have. So you need to focus on creating a thriving environment for both your staff and your patients. And you need to get real clear if you're an owner or a manager listening to this, you are not outside of that paycheck collector mentality. If you're doing some of those things, if you're a doctor that slides in at the very last minute and your patients are all waiting for you, get better, be better. I've worked with doctors that they'll start booking patients at 9 and have everybody else do the work, and it takes very little time to onboard a patient or take a patient history in a medical derm practice. If you show up at 10 and your patients have been sitting waiting in rooms for you, rude. Your ego is getting the best of you. Don't be that person. And again, I'm pissing off the peeps that are doing this. I want you to be better. I want your team not to resent you, because resentment starts and then all of a sudden the foundation of the practice erodes. You've got shitty clinic culture. And you're like, what's going on here? Take control of the situation. Identify these people, get rid of the paycheck collectors, celebrate the business builders, and get your shit together. It's going to boost your bottom line and boost clinic morale. You know, I love you. That might have been hard to hear. We're ripping the Band-Aid off like a wax strip on a bikini line. Just do it. I promise you, if you celebrate your revenue generators and your business builders, maybe even look at doing some profit sharing so they don't become your competitors. That's a great way to build a healthy practice. You've got to go and give the frickin' boot to those people that are boat anchors and weighing you down. Guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I invite you to share this podcast with your team and colleagues. To get in touch with me, you can visit my website, vanityempireconsulting.com. And to find me on Instagram and to find the show on Instagram, it's at The Bitchin' Beautician and at Scalpel of Truth Podcast. Wishing you so much love and success. And until next time, I want you to stay sharp, stay focused, and stay fabulous. Don't want to wait to see things stay the way they are.